Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Mating in Captivity, Unlocking Erotic Intelligence is a relationship and sexuality book by psychotherapist Esther Pirl. First published in 2006, it examines a central tension in committed partnerships. People often seek safety, reliability, and emotional closeness from the same relationship in which they also hope to sustain erotic excitement, novelty, and longing. Pirl writes, from the perspective of a couple's therapist, using clinical observation, cultural analysis, and reflective argument rather than a step-by-step program. The book is best understood as a work of popular psychology and relational theory, focused on how desire functions within long-term monogamous life. Its purpose is not to reject commitment or domestic stability, but to show why these goods can unintentionally reduce erotic charge when couples equate intimacy with complete transparency, constant togetherness, and predictability. Pirl introduces erotic intelligence as the capacity to preserve imagination, autonomy, play, and curiosity inside a stable bond. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the central paradox between secure attachment and erotic desire, Pirl argues that long-term couples often ask one relationship to satisfy two different human needs. Love seeks closeness, dependability, care, and emotional safety. Desire often depends on distance, uncertainty, mystery, and the sense that the other person is not fully possessed. This does not mean that love destroys sex or that stable couples cannot be passionate. Rather, the book shows that the conditions that make domestic life reassuring can gradually make erotic life too familiar. Shared routines, constant availability, and total predictability can reduce the charged space in which wanting develops. Pirl reframes sexual decline not simply as a failure of communication, attractiveness, or technique, but as a structural tension inside modern coupledom. This is one reason the book differs from manuals that focus mainly on performance skills or conflict resolution. Its central claim is psychological and relational desire requires an active relation to absence as well as presence. A partner must remain partly other, not merely a companion, co-parent, or household manager. The practical implication is that couples should not measure intimacy only by how much they merge. A durable, erotic relationship may require both emotional trust and carefully protected separateness. Secondly, erotic intelligence as imagination, attention, and deliberate play. The phrase erotic intelligence is important because Pirl treats desire as something more complex than biological drive or sexual frequency. In the book, erotic life is shaped by imagination, mood, memory, attention, and the meanings people attach to sex. Couples may lose desire not because attraction has disappeared, but because erotic space has been crowded out by stress, obligation, resentment, or overly literal ideas about what sex should be. Pirl emphasizes play because play allows adults to step outside efficiency, duty, and fixed identity. In a long-term relationship, erotic renewal often depends on creating conditions where partners can encounter each other with curiosity rather than habit. This can include novelty, flirtation, fantasy, privacy, humor, and a willingness to suspend the practical tone of daily life. The book avoids presenting a universal technique, since what feels erotic differs across people and cultures. Its reasoning is that desire grows when partners can access all-ofness, not merely when they solve a mechanical problem. Erotic intelligence, therefore, involves asking what makes each person feel awake, chosen, and imaginatively engaged. It also requires recognizing that sexuality is not separate from the rest of life, but it cannot thrive if reduced to another domestic task. Thirdly, separateness and autonomy as conditions for sustained attraction. A major theme of the book is that couples often mistake fusion for intimacy. Pirl challenges the assumption that the healthiest partner should share everything, disclose everything, and spend nearly all emotional energy on the couple. Her argument is that autonomy is not the enemy of commitment. In fact, a sense of self can make desire possible because attraction often depends on seeing a partner as a distinct person with private thoughts, independent interests, and a life that is not fully absorbed into the relationship. This perspective is especially relevant to couples who become efficient partners in managing children, finances, schedules, and social obligations, but no longer experience each other as separate erotic subjects. Pirl does not advocate emotional distance as neglect. The distinction is between cold withdrawal and generative space. When each partner maintains individuality, the relationship contains movement and curiosity. The other person can still surprise, impress, or elude complete definition. This idea also shifts responsibility away from blaming one partner for low desire. The issue may be the relational atmosphere itself. If a couple eliminates all distance in the name of security, they may also eliminate the tension that helps longing form. Fourthly, modern romance places unrealistic demands on one partnership. Pirl situates sexual difficulty within a broader cultural change. modern couples often expect one partner to provide companionship, emotional healing, domestic cooperation, sexual fulfillment, personal growth, economic partnership, and lifelong stability. Earlier social arrangements were often more restricted and unequal, but they did not usually ask marriage to carry so many emotional and erotic expectations at once. Mating in captivity examines this modern ideal with caution. The promise that one person can be best friend, secure base, passionate lover, and complete source of meaning can make ordinary fluctuations in desire feel like a crisis. The book also notes that democratic values in daily partnership do not automatically translate into erotic vitality. Fairness, negotiation, and equality are essential in shared life, yet erotic imagination may involve asymmetry, surrender, mystery, or playful power that cannot be managed only through administrative logic. Pirl is careful to distinguish consensual erotic play from harmful domination. Her larger point is that sex has its own symbolic language. When couples try to make erotic life conform entirely to the norms of household management, desire can become flattened. The book therefore invites readers to examine cultural expectations, not only personal shortcomings. Lastly, fantasy, taboo, and ambivalence are treated as meaningful rather than abnormal. One of the more provocative aspects of the book is its refusal to treat fantasy, contradiction, or forbidden thoughts as automatic signs of relational failure. Pirl argues that erotic life often draws energy from imagination, tension, and the parts of the self that do not fit neatly into a respectable domestic identity. This includes the fact that people can love a partner deeply while still experiencing desire as unruly, private, or difficult to explain. The book does not present fantasy as a command to act, nor does it use taboo to excuse betrayal or coercion. Instead, it treats erotic imagination as psychologically meaningful. What a person finds arousing may reveal needs for freedom, recognition, power, vulnerability, risk, or escape from prescribed roles. This approach can be useful because many couples respond to sexual difference with shame or moral panic, which often closes conversation rather than clarifying it. Pirl encourages a more nuanced understanding of monogamy as a lived arrangement that requires awareness, negotiation, and honesty about desire. Her contribution is to make room for ambivalence without reducing it to pathology. This is part of why the book remains influential among therapists and readers interested in the complexity of committed intimacy. In conclusion, Mating in Captivity is most useful for readers who want to think seriously about desire in long-term relationships rather than simply receive a list of sexual techniques. Couples facing reduced passion, therapists working with intimacy concerns, and individuals interested in the psychology of monogamy will find its framework especially relevant. The practical benefit is a more precise vocabulary for problems that are often mislabeled as lack of love, lack of attraction, or simple incompatibility. Pirl helps readers see how closeness, routine, parenthood, emotional dependency, and cultural ideals can affect erotic life even in caring partnerships. The intellectual benefit is its challenge to a common romantic assumption that greater intimacy should automatically create greater desire. Compared with many relationship books, it stands out because it is less formulaic and more interpretive. It does not promise a universal method, and some readers may want more direct exercises or broader coverage of non-traditional relationships. Its strength lies in reframing the problem. Pirl combines clinical insight with cultural critique, showing that erotic difficulty is not merely a private defect, but part of the structure of modern committed love. The book remains distinctive because it defends both commitment and erotic complexity, asking couples to protect desire without abandoning emotional security. If you would like to support Esther Pirl, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.